All right, we're on.
All right, we're in the work session. It's starting at 5:36. We'll go right down the list. Well, so yeah, we'll start at number one. So the Village of Baldwinsville is the owner or, yeah, is the owner of the Diane Reeves Memorial Park, which plays host to the Baldwinsville Little League. It is technically a village park. And as I forwarded you guys the information, there's an agreement that goes way back, recently signed by me when I was mayor in 2008, concerning the roles and responsibilities of the parties. I think there was like 17. I don't have it in front of me. I can print it out really quick. But it lists certain things that need to happen for that park to remain as a park. It needs to be utilized for its original intent, or the land reverts back to the Reeves Field. And when that park was established, it was a cooperative effort between the three municipalities, the village, the town of Lysander, and the town of Van Buren. And everybody kind of pooled their resources to make this thing happen. And it's been wildly successful as far as a facility that has hosted tens of thousands of kids over the years. And so once a year, usually they try to meet more often than that, but the municipalities in the park are supposed to meet at least once a year to talk about what's going on there, capital improvements to the park, if there's anything that we could help with from a municipal standpoint. And so from a municipal cooperation, I believe, and I've talked with Tony, who was just in here, you know, there is standing for us to help when we can. So that being said, a committee met a couple weeks ago and asked for help in oil and stoning the driveway, parking area, and sidewalk that kind of runs from the parking area through the main portion of the park to the refreshment pavilion. So, you know, that being said, I was asked to bring back to the board for their consideration help in that regard. And I forwarded you that email, I believe, from Steve D'Arcangelo.
17,000. 34 total, 17.
Yeah, I think our what was our request on it, Al?
That's right
here. Thank you. You want that?
Sure.
So divide this number, basically the $23,760.20, divide that in half, and that would be split between the town of Van Buren and the town of Lysander. Now Van Buren has already agreed to fund their portion of it. I believe they're gonna, I did call Claude because I was just curious to see what account he would fund that through. And it's their intention to fund it through highway. And looking at the application of the resources, it's more of a parks related, and in my mind, a whole town request, because it's not it's not a part town request. We've got kids from all over, village residents and town residents, participating in the activities in that park. So, and I've talked to Tony Birkinshaw. If the board is willing to entertain this request, I would suggest that we take the money out of the parks fund. And specifically, I've identified an account. We originally set aside $15,000 for sewer attachments to the village line and getting us off our septic tank in the park. Obviously we talked about this, it's an old structure, and at some point you know, it's going to fail, and it would benefit the park to be on sewers rather than septic long-term anyways. And so that's where, if we were going to entertain the request, it would be from that line item from parks.
How does Tony feel about taking that money?
Oh, he's not happy. But what I explained to him is that is a project that we might be able to get funded elsewhere, especially in consideration of what we are considering from a spray park facility. I had a great conversation with Senator DeFrancisco's office, and he said once we boil down the concept a little bit, to submit the package to them for his consideration. And so hopefully we're going to get some assistance there. But in talking with Tony, Tony realized that this project, the septic tank, is not an immediate need. It's not failing now. It still leaves Tony enough money to do a project that he's really interested in moving forward this year, and that's transferring the far field into a football, soccer, rugby field. It still leaves them $5,000 to move the goalposts and get that established and level that field. So at first, I mean, with any department, as you tell me, I mean, Gene, when I told Gene that we were considering this, his eyes lit up and immediately went into, no, not my fund, you're not. So that's understandable. And I would expect every department head to defend their budget. But
so that committee that got together, if you don't mind me asking another question, did they have a list of concerns next year? Are they going to come to us with a roof? Or do we have an idea?
No. For the most part, the park is self-sustaining. I mean, it generates a fair amount of revenue. It's been successful for years and years, and that's in large part because of the number of volunteers and, like I say, sponsors that support that effort, and through the fees for the teams to play in the facility. But no, it's not. This was a committee that used to meet, to be honest with you, a lot more often. When I was mayor, it was an annual event, and we would meet at Plumlee Engineering. Plumlee was really involved in designing that park, and I think they gifted their engineering services in that regard. So it was a huge cooperative effort.
You know, I guess without, I'll sound like a curmudgeon, I'm sure, but you know, it's we got this request in February, two months into the new year. And, you know, I don't know, this is the first I'm hearing about that we are expected to participate in the expenses of running this field or doing capital projects on this field. We have been so careful and judicious about planning ahead for our needs, and then we want $12,000 to pave our road. Are you kidding me? Why didn't you come to us last June or July? Why didn't you come to us before we put our budget together for 2017? Because I'm not going to change the sewer. If we were so intent on fixing the sewer at Central Park, where do we come off? Oh yeah, we don't have to do that. We'll just give the Little League field $12,000. So I'm annoyed, and I want them to know that if they ever want us to participate again, you better start a year out ahead. And let us know before budget season that you're going to expect some money from us. If this was a couple of $100 or $1,000, I'd say, you know, what the heck? This is $12,000. This is a whole sewer system we're not going to put in at our park if we do this. And so I would ask the question, can it wait a year? Because you know what? You don't wag a tail. A tail doesn't wag the town like this.
Right, and if it's just like oil stone, you said oil?
Oil and stone.
Well, it doesn't sound like it's a life or death situation for the park to have it done this year. I mean, could they go another year, do you think, without?
You know, I mean, that I don't, I mean, it was a request that they made. I could ask them.
What would happen if the town said no? I mean, what would they do?
Well, they've gone, the town hasn't, and I asked Dave Raleigh to try to get a better history. Hasn't done a lot in that regard as far as the support of the park after the initial establishment of it. And I do remember as mayor having Lysander noticeably absent from a lot of those cooperative meetings. So I don't think there's a ton of precedent for us helping to begin with. That being said, I don't know as if that should be the measure. You know, we did have a signed agreement. Barry had signed, I believe Barry Bullis's signature was on that agreement. And as far as a cooperative effort, and if you look at it from a Greater Baldwinsville perspective, there's a lot of kids in Greater Baldwinsville on both sides of the river that play baseball and utilize that field.
Well, I think that maybe if we put the money aside, I'm not against helping, you know, if we have an agreement.
But it doesn't commit us. I mean, it clearly says in the language, if funds are available, when appropriate. But that's why I'm bringing it to you guys. I'll tell you right now, because of my discussion with Tony and knowing that I think that there still might be another avenue for us to get that sewer line in, I would agree with Bob 100% that the timing of it is not good. I'll ask him two questions. One, if it can be held off for a year, and two, can the next meeting be held in the fall so that when we're budgeting for the next year, you know, we can incorporate that request into our budget. So sometimes things pop up.
They do, Joe, and you're right. And so I apologize if I'm sounding critical of anything around the table, because I'm not. But like, so who from Lysander sits on this committee? Does Tony Berkinshire sit on it?
No. It's the mayor, myself, and Claude Sykes is the representatives for the town.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it's a wonderful thing. You know, I had some concerns of, is this an arbitrary use of town funding, you know, to support this particular type of recreation, but you convinced me that it's such a big program that I, you know, to me they're doing our job. You know, we do soccer in our field and they do baseball over here, so I'm okay in that regard. I'm annoyed at the poor planning part of this. That's all.
Just to chime in here, I agree as well as with what Bob said as far as if this is between paving this road or putting the sewer line in. I want to put the sewer line in because that's what we plan to do. I don't want to hope that DeFrancisco comes through. If we can put the paperwork in order and know for certain that DeFrancisco is coming through, then I don't have a problem swinging the money that way. I don't know how flexible these people are.
Supposing we weren't even going to do a sewer. I think the argument I'm trying to make is one based on principle. It's not so much that we, you know, have another use for that money or we may find some other money. I don't care. You're asking us to spend $12,000 that we didn't budget for.
Right, and I agree with that.
And regardless of where that money could be supplanted from or supplemented from or taken care of, it's just, you know, these folks should know that you want to start help us out, start talking about it over the summer and let us know in the fall. And then come up with a plan, you know, come up with a multi-year plan. We're going to pave this year, and we won't be back in for another 10 years or another five, or whatever. Or we're going to have to put a new roof on, whatever.
And that's my question, is I wasn't sure if you think for the next 4 years we're going to see a new request each year, you know. This year it's paving, next year.
Yeah, I think it's been some time since they've oil and stone that lot. I mean, I think it goes back to maybe when I was still mayor. I mean, it's been a while. Al, do you work? You haven't worked on anything, and you've been here how many years now?
I've been over there since we've been here, that's 4.5.
Yeah, so it's been at least, I think, since I was mayor, since they did the maintenance on that. So
and I agree 100%. This should definitely not be highway. This is
a whole town.
This is whole town.
Right. And it's a parks related, because it's a village park. It's while Little League utilizes the facility, it's a park. We're supporting the park. We're not supporting Little League.
Exactly.
They just happen to be the major tenant of the facility, but they've done other things there. So.
Well, see what you can find out. I mean, if push comes to shove, and this is the right year to do this, we'll come back and talk about it. But we've got some time.
All right, so we'll leave this on the work session until the next meeting. Okay, Tony. Is Tony going to talk about this, or are you?
I'm filling it for him. Tony has six-day-old.
Six-day-old, yep.
Oh, yeah.
Baby girl. mom and baby girl.
Do we get a name? Yeah.
So yes. I didn't make new copies of this for you, but this is the same three proposals that we came to you with last week. You know, it comes down to we have a couple options of how we can do this. We can, like Camillus did, for equipment, we can spec whatever we want. So we can take any one of these three designs that I gave you and pick it, and then we just put in the specifications that this is what we want to buy. We've done our due diligence as far as equipment. We've gotten the quotes that we need to be able to meet the procurement policy, and we could physically go out and buy the equipment if we want. But at this point in time, we kind of need, Tony and I need some direction on which, you know, of these three options that we gave you, do you prefer, so that we can move this project forward.
Which is being proposed?
Well, we're good with any one of the three. I gave you the estimates and
I'd feel more comfortable if there was an actual recommendation of one in particular that the Parks and Recreation Department would feel more comfortable with.
Tony's favorite was this one.
Is that the pirate ship?
Yeah, the one with the slide. That was Tony's favorite of the three. I think they're all cool. I'm indifferent to them.
Can I make a recommendation? I had a conversation with Joe earlier. I guess it was, I don't know when it was, today or last night. You know, I think this is a really neat project, but it's unique and it's huge. And we're talking about spending a lot of money,
right?
And doing something outrageously new for the town of Lysander. And I don't have any doubt in my mind that if we did it, this community and the kids and the parents would just love it. Because, you know, just talking to the fella at Camillus, that's true. But, you know, we're talking about taking this money out of, what's it called, that parks?
In lieu of parks fees.
Parks fund. So we don't have to take it out of tax dollars or any annual base. But just, I reflected on this, and, you know, one of the things I'm going to suggest to the group to consider is perhaps doing something similar that I did when I was Commissioner of Parks. And we were on the verge of asking the county legislature to give us money and funding and support to build some spectacular new things, the Boundless Playground in Onondaga Lake Park, the skate park. There was one other thing as well. And I thought strategically what we did back then really made a lot of sense. And we, before I made the presentation to the Legend, before I asked them to make a commitment to do it, I invited the community to come in and just, hey, we're thinking about doing this in the town of Lysander. What do you think? It's not an official public hearing. It's just it's an open forum. Hopefully people would show up. And we would have these plans on the cork board over there, and you would talk through them, and Tony would, you know, and we'd have even the fellow from the town of Camillus coming in and talking about it. Not so much to try to sell the project to the community, but to just say, this is what we're thinking of doing. This is a big thing that we're on the verge of saying yes or no to. We want your input. And get people's input. And what I found from doing that was that it created a momentum of support for the facility. So by the time it ended up in front of the county legislature, they couldn't say no. And they didn't want to say no. They you know, because this was exciting. We were going to build this playground for handicapped kids' accessibility. How could you say no to it? And that's, so I'm recommending that an interim step here, different than what we normally do, instead of us being put on the spot and voting for it like that, yay or nay, we invite the public in.
Yeah, I agree. It's great to we haven't had a major investment in that facility in decades. I mean, obviously the population has grown in the town. There's a lot of new people that have entered our community, and you know, I think what Bob is suggesting makes a lot of sense. One of the things, though, that we might want to do to narrow the focus as far as just let the public know the concept that we're entertaining is maybe pick one of these three. And here's the other thing. It also allows me to put a package and send that up.
That's where I was going
to. Up to the senator's office to see if there's money available for this type of project, which obviously every dime that we get outside, and I'm not just thinking grants. I'm also thinking about private investment. If we see that this is taking off and there's other independent organizations that want to be a part of it, the more the merrier. That just takes the burden off that one particular fund. So, you know, I guess, Al, what I would ask is my criteria for a park would be, one, you know, you got to put our kid hat on, and is it going to be entertaining to the kids? Does it mm-hmm. look like it's going to be fun? I mean, my kids came back when, here's a story. Ainsley was six and Joey was three, and my mother-in-law took him to Lysander Park, and all we had was a single spray pole, which is basically a shower head or a mister. Kids came back soaking wet. You would have thought that they came back from like Darien Lake. They were ecstatic. They couldn't believe it. That's all they did, is they focused around the spray pole all day. So I think anything that we look at is going to be entertaining, but also I think if we're taking a long look at this, what is the most manageable, easy to maintain, and down the road, how, you know, what project is going to, I mean, I guess I want to veer away from something that is so specific to a company patented part that if the company goes out of business, then we lose the use of that facility, or we have to reinvest in it and modify it somehow. So,
let me add to it. This would be such a wonderful. It would be a lot of fun. What we did with the skate park and the balance playground is we gave the kids in the audience, we actually had work sessions. It was more than one night. It occurred over several weeks, and they designed the playground. And I'm not being facetious. We definitely used their input. We knew kind of generally what we wanted to build, but do you want this thing that sprays the water this way, or would you like this? And either one to us would have been okay, right? But you create a stakeholder mentality or a sense in the community that's our playground.
Yeah.
We designed that.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because we did a similar thing for the square in the village.
We did.
We went to the fourth graders that focus on local history. And, you know, Bonnie Kisselstein got involved, and she toured all the elementary schools, and those students actually named the park. They narrowed down the names that they liked, and then the board took a final vote, and they actually named Village Square.
Awesome.
So
one thing I think that's important is when we hold this meeting, I think that there could be confusion out there that all the town board's going to have to raise taxes in order to do this, and this is a huge project, and the town has to. I just think it's really important that we're able to convince the residents and explain to the residents that this is not going to result in a taxing.
Oh yeah, you have a fact sheet, and the fact sheet spells it all out. This is where the money's coming from. Here's the operating costs. You know, and this is how it all works. You have it all laid out.
Mm-hmm.
You want to investigate a private Wegmans or somebody to put their name on it and give you some financial support.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's fraternal organizations that might be interested.
I was going to say, Rotary might. Yeah. Rotary's been a huge contributor to our park in the past. They may be interested in sponsoring something like that. Lions Club.
Yeah, so I think that's great. I can't imagine actually moving forward without doing that. Some sort of public outreach, and I think the more we do, the more popular the.
Realistically, if we do get money from Senator D. Francisco, just knowing how the state funding process works, we're not going to get it until
it wouldn't be this year.
Yeah, it's not going to be this construction season period. It's
right. Which you know, to put it in perspective, doesn't mean that if this thing flew, that we couldn't do it at the tail end. Simply, it would just, that's a financing thing. That's just a financing thing. But you're right. If we could narrow it down, I mean, I like the concept. I don't know where price-wise where it came in between the three.
You know, they're all within basically within $8,000.
Wow.
You know, they're all pretty close. You know, the equipment's pretty close. This one, the equipment's a little more, but they recommend a smaller actual concrete pad. So there's a slight savings there. You know, I mean, it can go either way.
How about the point about the parts being so specific to the company and that if the company goes out?
Yeah, you know, I think doesn't matter what company you pick, whether you pick Raindrop or whether you pick Vortex or any of them, you know, that's a risk no matter what. I will say that all three of the companies have said that they're all, so you can swap. So say you want to change this gun for another feature, the mounts are modular from one feature to the next. So if you want to swap this out and put a different feature in, it's the same mounting pattern, same bolt pattern. You swap it out, reconnect the plumbing, put the bolts in, and put a new fixture on.
And that's just not an issue. I mean, it's not that these companies are going to go out of business. They're not going to go out of business. And if they did, someone else is going to take them over.
And there's always, I mean, different ways to anchor something.
And it's true of just recreation equipment in general. You just don't worry about that because it's someone's going to be making that swing.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, somebody's always going to be.
Well, all right. So then, if that's the one that Tony likes and we need a concept to move forward with, I'm comfortable with that. I mean,
I would put all three of them on the board. You know, let these kids have some choice. I mean, okay. You know, Tony is not going to be going under the raindrop here. It's the kids.
I don't know about that. Tony's got little kids. He will.
Right. But I, my point is get some stakeholder.
Two big boards so they can.
Yeah, we can put it on the projector or something. But yeah, there's.
I would have get, you know, really big.
No, I can print. Yeah, we can.
No, you don't have to print them out. The company will print them out for you.
Yeah.
You know, really big. You know, 24x36, whatever they are. Let's put them around the wall. Let's just have some fun with this.
Okay. Now, do you want to do it as a? There's a couple options I was thinking of as. Do we want to have a? I think it might.
Meeting.
Okay.
I don't think it should. I'm just saying it should not be part of our.
No.
It should be a special meeting.
Yeah, special meeting specific to that. Okay. I wouldn't make it.
And we should pick a target date like mid-April.
Do we advertise it through the schools?
Everywhere, schools,
sure.
Messengers.
I've had that conversation with Tony. Absolutely. I mean, he's got to spread the word through the schools, and I mean, even a naming thing. I mean, I don't know if we could start talking about naming rights for a sponsor. I mean, if it's half as popular as it was in Camillus, it's just going to...
Oh, it's going to be a home run.
It's a home run. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
All right, so mid-April, and I'll have Tony start working on that public outreach, and he'll report back in a work session. We'll keep this proposed... It's good that we talk about it in a work session.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
I was just thinking, maybe you've got some big companies...
Yeah, I don't know if we want Anheuser-Busch, though.
Well, they wouldn't want that.
Well, we could have an adult park that has beer.
You got a lot of companies that are big companies that, you know, this is not a huge hit for them. This is not, you know, asking for millions of dollars. So.
Right.
Well, you know, and not to get too crazy, guys, but, you know, if there's that much money out there potentially coming in, we could build a $500,000 park. It doesn't have to be $300,000. I mean, let's just do it right. I mean, all I can tell you is that when we did things in parks, we didn't, you know, we looked at the budget, but we said, well, how big does the skate park have to be? And we didn't budge from that. You know, there wasn't pulling back because we don't want to spend that much money. You know, we spent $750,000 on that skate park.
Well spent.
Yep. All right.
Do you want to bring her up and talk about
it? Yes. I want you, now that Tony's here, come on up. We have Stacy Alberici's attorney.
Hi, I'm Nadine Bell.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you. I know I'm not on the agenda for the work session, and I am crashing.
You are now.
I am. It's amazing how that works.
It will be noted.
The reason I'm appearing at the work session meeting is my client has concerns. And so in seeing the agenda for the regular meeting, we know that there's a public hearing, but then also that there is a motion that is up for consideration on whether or not this is to be forwarded to the town's planning board for review. I was talking about this with the board members before the start of the meeting, because they walk in and I think everybody's like, what's she here for? The questions we have and the concerns.
And you can join us too, Alan, because this is, I think, you know, this is, you may have some answers for us as well.
Here's our concern, and here's our interest. If the public hearing is closed this evening, it's my understanding of the way that your laws works. You have the town board's jurisdiction is to either approve or disapprove of the density calculations. If they are in favor of the density calculations, then they make the referral to the planning board and possibly the ZBA if.
And we
just planning board. It would go straight it'd go straight to planning board as subdivision review.
And it would require
this is just based upon
no.
It would require a super majority vote on our board. because
to be referred.
To refer that to planning, for this to continue.
Because the county
rejected it.
As it's currently proposed.
Right.
So the concern that I have on behalf of my client is if the public hearing this evening's closed, at this point, my client has not submitted a revised plan. He is very willing to do so. In fact, I know he has plans to, but he hasn't at this point because there's been public comment received, but he wants a little direction from the town. My client wants to take into consideration what's been said by the residents, what the town's concerns are, and then provide a proposal. Otherwise, we're just throwing darts without a target, right? Mm-hmm. If the public hearing's closed, my question to the board members was typically with public hearings, if there's a substantive change, you either have to open the public hearing back up or a whole new application needs to be. Some of your town board members indicated that it's their understanding, and this is where you're the man of the hour. Can this board close the public hearing, not make any decision this evening on whether or not to refer? It's their understanding that there's 60 days to make that decision. Continue to negotiate with my client. I'm saying negotiate. I don't know if that's the right word, but discuss.
No, perhaps. It would be a negotiation.
Okay. Negotiate what the proposed density and plans are without my client having to, and then vote on that revised plan to send it to the planning board. My concern is if the public hearing is closed, that the only plan that this board can consider is the one before it now. And frankly, that's not the plan that we want the board to consider. We're willing to change it. We're just looking for direction.
So let me ask you a question, because I'm not a developer, and I know that time is a concern for your client.
Absolutely.
If we did act on it one way or another, and let's say the scenario was that it didn't get the supermajority.
Okay.
The developer has every right to resubmit. Given that there would have to be a redesign, because we don't require a site plan necessarily for a reconsideration, it would require the developer to come up with a new plan, which you would have to do anyways based on our negotiations.
Right.
We would then, if a new plan was considered, this is the time frame, okay, it would be referred to Zoning Board of Appeals and our planning board in county planning for their considerations and feedback.
Not Zoning Board of Appeals, they said planning board, right?
No, this is for a new app. I'm saying a new application.
Right.
I don't think she's saying new application. So I think what she...
My concern is I don't want the new application.
What I'm trying to say is that I don't think that the time frame is that much different.
So
explain that to me. Yeah.
I'll answer that question. We have right now a fully engaged public forum where I think maybe even the public hearing is left open they can receive the feedback that we would have for an updated plan. So I think the last couple public hearings where we presented, right, everybody's had a chance to come out. There were a few of the public hearings where there weren't people, and that's why you had left it open before, where there weren't people able to come out for a specific meeting. Mm-hmm. And I think we've collected all that, and I think we should have a chance to react to it and revise the proposal to be possibly less dense and use this forum that we have instead of closing it and resubmitting it under a new application where we would have to go through that belabored process again, which took almost a year.
Well, and to add to what he's saying, where my concern comes from when you say, does it really lose any time? Typically, when you have you have your application once received, then you schedule your public hearing. You need to have so many days to schedule the public hearing. That's all that is where you start to lose. Whereas, if you meet twice a month, correct?
Mm-hmm.
This is your first meeting for March. If instead we're able to say to you, you know what, we've been engaged, we have plans, we can change them. Tell us what you're looking for, how you want it. We've heard the concerns for the density from the residents. In 2 weeks from now, we come back before you with another plan.
So, sorry, the question.
But that's not possible.
The question, Tony, is what's the best strategy to use? Do we close the public hearing and then sit down with them within the parameters of, we have 60 days essentially to do that and renegotiate that, and then vote on that without a new public hearing?
I wouldn't recommend that.
Because we did that with Cabbage Patch.
Wow.
And I agree with you that I don't like the idea of voting on something that the public really hasn't had a chance to. So what is your recommendation?
My recommendation is to leave it open, start the negotiations. Okay. If you're going to do that. If they come back with a new plan, submit that to the public and say, this is what's going to be considered at the continued public hearing.
Keep it open.
And then go back in. If you do it the other way, I mean, we could close it. They could do a whole new application.
No, not the new application.
They could do a new plan, but yeah. The public's not going to know about it.
Right.
And you're going to vote on it, and all of a sudden they're going to say, wait a minute, when did this come about?
So, and we're not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
You know, believe it or not, we try to be good neighbors. We don't want a situation where the public is saying, wait a minute,
right.
We've gone through this for a year, and now it's like, we're just going to do it, no public hearing. We don't want that. We've heard the concerns, and we want to do it. And the other concern I have is, as you mentioned, the supermajority. Unless there's another board member this evening, that's pretty tough.
Yeah. If we close the public hearing, it's going to go down. It's not going. So
exactly.
I guess out of fairness to the developer, because I'm uncomfortable with this development. I'm just being honest with you. But to be fair to you, I'm just one board member here. I would be willing to sit down and to hear what you got in mind in terms of new ideas, not tonight, but over the course of the next several weeks.
And I think that's fair. And I would say, just so that we could schedule out maybe the next week or so, would it be fair to say too that we could bring back together the same incentive zoning committee that we had originally hatched this?
Well, I can't speak for Joe, but that's what I would recommend.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
We had two planning board members on there that should definitely
that
be part
should be
of
involved
it.
Too. Because yeah.
So I have concerns with this proposal too. I'm okay with keeping it open, but I want to have at least a time frame where we'll say at least by this point we're going to close the public hearing. Not that this public hearing just remains open for the next month, 2 months.
Frankly, we would like that too. Time's money, right? And as we kind of joked earlier, we're approaching building season, and we would just assume if there's the ability to have this meeting of the initial incentive zoning committee or whomever is appropriate, we just as soon have it. The only thing I don't want to commit to is saying we'll get you another plan in 2 weeks, in 4 weeks, and there's never an opportunity to meet with the people that we need to, and where we're still sitting here saying, give us the direction.
The onus is going to be on you, the developer, to be able to come up with a renegotiated plan that meets this to the satisfaction of this committee. So I would say, let's do it.
So that I'm clear in what I go back to my client.
I'm just one person here. Okay.
Understood. But you bring up a good point. So would this town, is it your preference that having heard what the citizens' concerns are, that we come into you with just a, here's now what we want to do? Or do you want to give us any kind of feedback of, this is what we'd like to see?
I don't think you're going to save any. If this is a time saving initiative, which is it is.
Yes.
Otherwise, we would vote on it, and if it went down, we'd start. So this is an outreach from you on behalf of your client to see if there's an alternate. You should sit with us, and you should hear from us directly what our thoughts are based on the comments that have been made by our public. Measured against what Bob and I originally negotiated with, because we sat on that. I mean, we gave our best effort. We sat with our engineer. We sat with planning board members to determine what we thought was in the best interest of the community in exchange for the higher density consideration. But in order for you to truly, I guess, save time, mm-hmm. you could go out and develop another plan that doesn't address any of the concerns that are rattling around in our heads. So we should. Soon, sit down with you, and compile our thoughts. This is what we heard from the public. This is what needs to be included in your new proposal. It's not a new proposal. It's a modified proposal.
Two comments. Would it be acceptable to town for our engineers to reach out to you next week and see when we can schedule.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Second part of this would be.
Sooner the better.
That's what my thoughts are. I didn't. Well, it's Thursday. So otherwise, I was calling tomorrow.
I'm here tomorrow.
But the other part of this is too, and I would defer to your attorney on this. What is currently before the board is 122 lots that this board doesn't find acceptable. Fine.
So here's the thing. I think we should avoid. We're not vote. This is not a vote. I guess you're trying to determine the temperature of the board, which is fine.
No, that's not it at all.
Okay.
No, wait. So
all right.
Disregard. What I'm saying is why I brought that up. If my client comes back to you with an amended plan,
mm-hmm.
in my experience, representing other planning boards and town boards, your referrals to the county planning board, if there is significant change to a plan, it's up to the discretion of the board on whether or not they want to refer it back to the county planning for comments.
I would want to refer it back to county planning.
That's why I'm wondering whether you want to do that, because there's two sides to that. One, it's 30 days. You can still have a referral back before your planning board makes any kind of decisions, right? But also, depending upon if my client's able to address some of the concerns that were expressed in the county planning's comment letter, perhaps they don't get the negative back, the recommendation, and perhaps then you don't need the supermajority.
I don't see a need to send it back to county planning, because if we did that, no matter what we came up with, they're going to vote it down.
Okay.
And that's just my opinion. So to me, it's a step. It's an unnecessary. And I don't want to sound arrogant or aloof to county planning, because I've been the one who has been defending them from day one on this thing. But it's just a step that I think we're going to waste time doing.
Okay. That's what my question was.
My litmus test to that consideration would be if the plan is going to be address those some concerns that county raise and address residents and make it a
less dense,
less impactful community, whether it be housing or traffic or a lot of things if it's going to reduce those impacts, then I would be in favor of reissuing or resubmitting to county either.
Okay.
That's my
And that's fine, because it's always something that can be clarified in any kind of resolution of the reasons why. But I just
a recommendation. Instead of hearing from us, you know, what number of lots we're comfortable with, you guys come up with a proposal based on what you think you heard. We'll meet with you next week, and then we'll negotiate. And we're going to say, you didn't listen to anything the public had to say, did you? Or that's good enough. No, I'm being facetious, okay?
Oh, okay, good.
Okay. So I would say, use your brains, use your best effort, and come up with something. And then Joe and I will open our calendars up, and we'll meet with you.
Yeah.
Your next meeting is?
The 16th.
I mean, I won't be here for the 16th, but between now and then, we're not going to have to meet at night. We're going to meet during the day, during the week.
I'm just thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah.
The 16th meeting, by the way, Nadine, is.
I have a question.
We've got 3 weeks until the week after that.
That's the better time.
Let's keep that in mind. So it goes into April.
I mean, I don't know if we have to. We could just.
Because
March is getting early. Yeah. So we don't go through hearing the same comments that we've heard for the past 2 months. Adjourned, keep the public hearing in adjournment for 2 weeks, and then.
Well, I think you just keep it open.
Yeah, you just open it. You open it and say we're just going to adjourn it for the evening, and open it back up on the 16th.
And then ask for item A this evening. That would just be.
I don't know if you can. Yeah. Can you adjourn?
Well, I guess you did a good job, Joe. What you would say to the public is, look, if you have something new to say that we haven't heard before, you know, come to the mic, but don't repeat what you've heard. We're taking everything you've said to us over the last several weeks very seriously, but don't, you know, in the interest of time, say.
But maybe even say that the developer has indicated that they've heard your comments and they've asked for permission to come in with a revised plan to try to address your
I would say that.
Concerns.
That's a good idea.
And
then if they do, public, we'll let you know what the new proposal is so that you can comment on those as well.
And obviously be clear that proposal would be heard in a public forum.
Right. Well, that would be the explanation for keeping the public hearing open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Good.
And we can, I mean, we can send out the same letters again with the revised plan, just like we did the first time.
Yeah, we would update both the letter and the plan for the file.
As far as the
notice to the public.
Yeah. The public, we would send the same public hearing notice out to the same families that got it the first time with the revised plan attached.
That's fine.
The only decision that we have to make, and Tony, chime in if I'm getting this all wrong. Joe and I had the ability to meet with the two planning board members and the developer behind closed doors. It was not a public meeting, which we can do again. On the other hand, if Bob Ellis, who's not here, and Pete and Roman want to be a part of this to hear with their own ears, because they're going to have to vote on this thing, then we have to turn it into a public hearing.
And if you do that, you're not going to get a lot of accomplished.
I don't think we get a lot of accomplished, so I think...
So that's why it's going to require us getting our heads together. You do what you got to do.
Communicate.
Take your... Listen to those comments. Go through those. I think we've Dina's done a great job as far as capturing those, all the written comments. Pore over those. Come up with your best effort. We'll get together and determine, you know, what those... major issues were that we heard from, and then we'll compare what you bring to the table and what we hear from our board. And that way the board is included, and when we go into negotiation, we can...
That sounds good.
Yeah. And the board will get a copy of a revised letter of intent anyways. So it's not like... And if they see anything that Bob and I may have missed, a glaring omission, then they can just...
I'll get a phone call. Bob, why are you?
Are you kidding? We want three trees, not two. All right. So
fine. That's
okay.
That addresses our concern exactly.
Okay.
Like I said in the beginning, my real concern was just if a public hearing's closed, then being told after the fact, oh no, we can't consider a new thing without the whole process starting again. That was my concern. Because we fully intend to have a new...
Although there's some changes to this proposal, will this proposal still require a supermajority to pass it?
Even
yes. Yes.
Yes. It will.
Unless we did exactly what
it would happen
said,
anyway.
And like sent it back to county. Which
if the revised proposal is going to pass the muster of this board, it would anyway pass...
You want to do that when everybody's here, because if one person votes against it, you're dead. Whereas if everybody's here, one person could vote against it, the other four could still pass it.
Right.
If once somebody's absent.
Right.
Well, it's just the fairest. It gives the project the most fair opportunity to be reviewed. I mean, otherwise... Yeah, we're a small board as it is. Yeah. Five people's.
So in the interest,
everybody counts.
Of time, I'm here next week. I've got a couple of days that I can't make it, but I'm gone the week of the 13th. So if you want to do something, I would suggest if you want me there, it needs to be next week sometime. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Monday's the only bad day for you.
Yeah, I got it.
That's fine.
I got to babysit on Monday.
That's fine.
I'm here. So.
We got to check with Jack and
the
planning board.
And you're here.
I'm here. Yeah, Jack and Bill are both retirees.
Yeah,
I'm
so
sure
everybody should be able to make it.
Their schedules are fairly flexible.
So
meet with your client, throw a couple dates at us, and send me an email.
Do it through Joe.
Will do.
Yep.
Will do.
No, I'll have a card on me. I'll get you one. It's supervisor@townoflysander.org.
If I go on the website,
I'm not a big fan of our website though, but you can hunt for it.
I think it's right there. I have
I don't like our website. It's horrible.
Not user-friendly.
I don't know. What do you think? You like our website? Is it easy to find information?
For the most part.
Yeah, because you're used to it.
Well, Bob, you should be used to it too, all right?
I just use the search thing.
Website.
I was able to find the video recording.
About 2 years ago.
Yes.
So technically, I've only been using it.
They're in high demand. You should be selling those.
Well, thank you for taking us at the work session, even though, like I said, we're not on the agenda, but sometimes it's easiest
to have an easier,
because this is not in any way intended to be antagonistic process.
No.
So it seems like the best time is if you can sit and actually discuss.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's a very open process. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great.
You could have seen
Brian, are you sticking around for the public hearing or no?
Should I?
He's going to Florida.
It's up to you.
I mean, unless you just want to, I mean, any comments that are made, we're just going to update the comment section. So.
It's up to you. If you want me here, otherwise, if it's fair enough just to say that it's going to be left open and that we're having a revised proposal submitted, I mean, I think that would be.
I mean, that's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And so unless someone comes in here that wants answers now, I'm sure you can get back to them by tomorrow with any questions that come up. Yeah. It's up to you. I mean, you're invited to stay. Okay. Get home safe. Watch the roads.
I will check the record, though, before we meet with you to make sure that there wasn't anything new that came
yeah,
out.
Yeah, absolutely.
We shouldn't be doing the
okay. You want to talk about your intern?
Yeah. So Colin Kusick has agreed to come back this summer. This will be Colin's third summer here. I'd like to give Colin a raise of a dollar. Colin, most of Colin's time is spent in special districts or developer inspection. We do have a $5,000 line item in the highway budget that we use when Colin does highway inspection work. We haven't even come close to ever spending that full $5,000 with him over the summer. So you'll notice that the appointment is from now effective to the end of the year. He'd like to come back and work spring break week, which is March 13th, this coming week. And then he won't start again until after spring semester is done. And he's hopeful if he does not have a full course load next fall semester, unless he decides to pursue a dual degree at SU, he's hopeful that he'll be able to help me out in the fall semester at least a day or two a week. So I put on their appointment through December 31st. So I don't have to put another resolution on if it works out that I can use them some in the fall semester.
I'm fine with that.
Yep. Yeah, Colin, he's a good kid. He works hard. He's
trained. I mean, he's a valuable asset in that he knows the infrastructure to some degree now, and he knows what I expect.
He's familiar with the software.
Yeah, he knows what I expect from him. So he brings a lot to the table. He's going to be like three classes shy of his degree in the fall, so he's got to go back.
Joe, could I ask Al a question on
sure.
the agenda
yeah.
item?
Yeah.
Could you just really quickly talk to us about F? I mean, is that something we're hiring a surveyor? Is this something special that we don't normally do? Or
No. Anytime we do a road redesign, because there's drainage improvements in this, so we need topographic survey to be able to do gutter spread calculations, so we place the catch basins in the appropriate locations.
Okay.
So that's
typical. It's normal.
Yeah, this is normal. We actually have worked with the surveyor on Dexter Parkway and on Crego Street. It was the same surveyor that it was low on those two projects. So he's got control there as far as from a survey standpoint. I'm sure that's why he's coming in low, because he's already got all the control set from a point standpoint. He just loads that onto his data collector and goes out with a total station and hits that street.
This comes out of part town?
This comes out of highway, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good deal.
Thanks.
Joe, I just have something very quickly. The franchise agreement
yep.
for PACB.
Yep.
Looks like they're trying
Everything
to
good?
Get a meeting together in the near future. They're looking at a couple possible dates for next week or the week after.
I'm flexible. Whatever works for you.
Okay. I will. I told them I wanted to update the board and touch base with you and see what was going to be best for you, and then we would. I'd respond after tonight's meeting. So.
All right, whatever works for you works for me.
Okay.
So send me the email and the date, and
okay.
we'll
this is a franchise agreement with Time Warner.
Yes.
So can you get them to broadcast PACB TV all over town?
I know. Well,
that's going to be one of our
yeah, and
things.
Yeah,
we
can't wait to see their answer to you.
No, we can't do that.
I don't get it.
It didn't make sense. Like a year ago, we asked the same question.
I know. You get nowhere.
Yeah. Hey, Gene, you got a second? We'll talk about millings for a second. No, not a second. That's you're right.
You're right.
That's not accurate.
Far longer than that.
Hopefully not. A
minute and a half.
Okay, so you guys received Gene's response from our written request. Gene, thank you for getting those back to us. Does the board want to make any comments based on on that?
Sure, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
The problem I have with this, and I especially take exception, Gene, to should the board, to your last bullet point, should the board be unable to see the value in gypsum services rendered, that's kind of like saying, like, we don't understand the whole situation here, and it's just not fair. I think the issue here is there's a town law that says we will get $2, was it two or three, $2 a ton for road funds. And I wouldn't have had a problem with anything that you've written here had you come to us ahead of time saying, look, this project has been on the docket for quite some time. I've scoped it out. I think I can get enough truck, a few trucks from these towns and this and that, but it looks like I'm going to come up short. I talked to Gypsum. It looks like they need some road millings. Would the town board be willing to make an exception or pass a law or whatever we have to do that says we can do just what you've got here? My problem is you just don't let us know until after the fact. And in fact, you didn't even let us know after the fact. It was up to Joe and David Raleigh to find this out. You didn't even come to us and say, this is what I did. So my problem is you gotta think ahead and come to us in as much time as possible so you get some support and backing for these things. Because if you don't do that, it's going to look like you're unilaterally making decisions that completely flaunt the laws that are on the books.
You care to respond?
Nope. You obviously have your opinions, and I have mine. I gave you mine in letter form. It was nothing sarcastic about it. It was just a statement of all the facts and a suggestion of what you might want to do. And if you didn't want to do that, they offered to help you calculate an invoice. And you didn't take me up on that, so I'm done. I believe I've done a good project. I kept track of everything as best I could. I brought the facts to you. And if you're... whatever tack you want to take, that's your opinion and your prerogative.
You know what, Gene? I'm tired of being told me it's my opinion. I don't ever want to sit here with you again after the fact.
I'm not okay? Having a good time either.
Well, then make sure you come ahead to our meetings and or give Joe a heads up saying, Joe, got a situation on here at hand. You know, don't say that you at 6 o'clock in the morning you had to make a decision. You knew you were tearing up this road months out.
All right, so for me, Gene, and I don't want to speak for the board, but you know, the board has a responsibility, a fiduciary responsibility, to make sure that the assets of the town are managed properly. We all have roles to play, and I don't think you did anything that was. I think you procedurally, you did something that I wish you would acknowledge you wouldn't do in the future. Because I think if you would just do that, we could move on. Because I do have some solutions that I'd like to present to the board here, but
let's hear them.
Well, but I need to hear from you an acknowledgement that. On the fly, you can't make handshake deals when it relates to town assets. I don't think you stuck anything in your pocket. I don't think
writing,
it.
Well,
I know that's your
told you everything I know in two different forms, in verbal form and written form. I told
you. And you provided a lot of information.
What I know. What do you want to do? You want to drag me until my clothes fall off? Or
no.
What do you want to do here?
Gene, I just want to, I'd like you to acknowledge the fact that there is a protocol and that you're free to use your imagination to look for efficiencies. We all are. But we cannot just unilaterally make decisions without following procedure. And there's not a lot of procedure when it comes to millings, but the one constant is, and it wasn't even set by this current board, the previous administration had established $2 per per ton for millings. So what I'd like you to acknowledge is that in the future, if you come up with an efficiency or an idea or a concept,
I won't do any more millings unless you're out there so I'm available so I can get your permission. I mean, we operate at all hours of the day, and it's things come up, and you have to move forward. You've got some very expensive equipment and men all trying to move, trying to go forward.
Okay, so
we can't, we can't hold it.
And we don't need to add a town supervisor to that.
No, we don't.
No.
We have a supervisor on site, me.
No.
And I have authority to do a lot of things.
So
not everything, but I have authority to do a lot of things. It's covered in the highway
Gene,
law.
Gene, let me ask you a question. Maybe this will explain our position a little bit more. This work was done on whatever date? In 30, how many trucks were utilized? There were 102 loads done by gypsum on that particular, between those 4 days. On that first day, on that morning, did you know that gypsum was going to show up with trucks, or did you know ahead of time?
Sure, I knew they were coming with trucks.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is between the time that you spoke with gypsum to set that up, there was time for you to call me or to inform the board.
That wasn't the intent to do what we did. That came about at 6 o'clock, and shortly after 6 o'clock in the morning, the men that were on the site looked at the circumstances and said, you know, this doesn't make sense. Why, we're going right by here. Why don't we take the millings in there? And said,
okay,
Jesus,
Gene,
that's a good idea.
This is
then Mike come along, their foreman from gypsum, says, well, if we're going to do that, why are we going past the other yard over by Budweiser? Why don't we go in there?
Gene, I got to cut you off. You did this at the end of June, early July. It is now March of 2017. And if
what
it
do you
wasn't,
want me to do?
I would have liked you to have either called the town
supervisor. You weren't
there. No, and let me finish, Gene. Either call the town supervisor that morning and tell him what you thought you had to do, or at the very least, come to the first town board meeting in July and said, this is what I did, and I need to get your okay on this because we didn't charge the $2 a ton. You didn't even let us know. And you know what? I'm not arguing with you anymore, Gene. You don't get it. You don't get it.
All right. Okay. So, Gene, in the future, know that if you come up with a concept that has an impact on or has to deal with town assets, let us know. Because any alteration in price that was established by the board would have to be addressed. We can't do things on the fly like that. As far as sending things or delivering things, you make that call. But when it comes to pricing on millings, that should have been a board decision. The board should have been in the loop on that. That being said, I had an excellent conversation with John White today. He came over. He did receive an invoice from us. I had Dave Rowley throw out an invoice to Gypsum. There was a typo on it. It was for the amount, it should have been for the amount of $4,080. It was $4,800. John White came over, and let me say this as well. At no time do I think Gypsum Express did anything inappropriate. They showed up for millings. They wanted millings. They got millings, all that they could handle. John White came in today and offered me an invoice of what it would cost the town if he had charged us for that shipping. Conversation ensued. My point to John was like, he runs a private business. He can determine how he utilizes his assets, whether it's his manpower or his trucks. He weighs those, he makes those decisions every single day. We don't have the flexibility in the town. We have rules that manage how we operate. And I wish we could operate more like a business, but We just don't. They're community assets that we deal with, whether they're personnel or whether they're equipment. So we had a great conversation. He acknowledged that. I think it is worth mentioning that the price that he had put forth that he would have charged us was $85 an hour, which is, and I checked with Al, commensurate to the county bid rate, which is a relief because there could have been an issue somewhere else as far as procurement of services. But because gypsum matched the county rate, that's not an issue. So he had our invoice, I had his invoice, and he was willing to make this a wash. There's a difference between his invoice would have come to $7,650. Our invoice to him should have been $4,080. He said he could very easily make this $4,080. What that does is it clears up, it makes, it would, if the state came in and did an audit, it would make this palatable. We didn't violate procurement policy. We actually, in the end, would have paid less to have gypsum do the work for us. My only other point is it's still a private company that assisted us in this regard. In better planning, my opinion is better planning would have allowed us to reach out to other communities to get more trucks where we wouldn't have had to pay $4,080. I don't think John White was looking for a deal. I think he was offered a deal. I think no one meant to do harm. In the end, I think as far as trucking goes, the town was able to complete a project quick. It wasn't the ideal situation, but Gene, really what I was trying to get from you is an understanding that we have procedures in place and that we have to follow procedures. So I guess to make this right and to make everybody whole, technically we've been given an invoice which seems to be flexible, and from John would be $4,080, and that would cover the cost of 102 loads of gypsum 10-wheelers running. That cleans it up. Would I prefer that we did things differently? Yeah. But, and Tony, I don't know if that's if what we're considering is allowable, but I need to hear.
Yeah, I think by virtue of the fact that they're giving back what would have otherwise been a legitimate charge to us, and they're forgiving that in consideration of us forgiving our charge to them.
I mean, we could exchange checks.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think you need to do that. Yeah.
But we didn't, I want to see this go away too and do it appropriately and legally, but we did not procure the services of Gypsum Express the way we normally procure services.
No, that's true.
And but so how do you get around that?
Well, because the services that were quoted were at county rate, I believe that would.
You could have used gypsum. Well, I don't know if they're.
Is gypsum on the county bid for hauling?
No.
Yeah. So you got to use a county bidder.
So should we just?
I think that you have to call county bidders, all the people that are on the county bid list first. I think is how it works. And if none are available, you can use anybody else that'll match.
So Tony, should we just swap checks?
Probably, yeah.
All right.
As long as they're not a county bidder. Have them give us a check for the milling symbol.
But, you know,
even though we didn't procure it, Bob's right, we didn't procure
this is it. The crap that we ought not to ever have to go through. And this is why I'm incensed that we have to worry about the state comptroller, you know, taking a look at what happened here. Even though we know everybody was on the up and up, nobody put any money in a pocket, but we didn't follow procedure. And secondly, where was the insurance rider for this program? You know, how were we protected? How were we protecting gypsum? None of these things were taken care of. This was just a fly-by, you know, by the seat of my pants. I'll make a special deal here with a friend of ours. No, we can't do this. If someone got hurt, got killed, or whatever, tell me what would have happened. I'd like to hear from what's his name? Chapman, Hank Chapman, and ask him, what do you think of this deal? We're paying all this money for our insurance. Is this a good deal? I don't know.
Yeah, do you guys want to, any comment or?
Gene, I don't think anyone here is saying that you did anything on purpose. I know that you're upset. We know.
I'm entertained.
We shouldn't be entertained.
But
it's not the right response.
You know, we're just trying to look at the procedure. We're not going after you.
Okay.
I'm not.
Okay.
You know, we're just trying.
You were there last night.
I was. Okay. I talked to you last night.
Okay.
And, you know, we're just trying to help put the procedures in place. You know, I know you like to think outside of the box. I think that most of the board members, I would have been more happy if the conversation would have come up in July, you know, where we still may have had a disagreement. There's still, but at least the board would have been aware of it sooner. That's all. I don't want you to feel, you know, I'm not trying to go after you. I think that everyone here is just looking for the protocol. That's all I have.
So we're working, so to that, I'm glad
let me speak to July a little bit, okay? In July, we're busy, we're working, so we're all consumed with everything we're doing. Come September, we start picking up the pieces. Remember, I don't have an assistant.
You know what?
I don't have a deputy or
listen to this crap.
I'm sorry. I'm just by myself to track.
Unbelievable.
Nine guys, and this whole activity, you know, how many loads was that? How many tons? There was a lot of numbers there, a lot of stuff that had to be calculated and figured out. And I did that when I had the chance, okay, and produced an invoice. Okay, and that did not happen in July. In July, we moved on to other projects. And all that paper was put in aside for a rainy day when we could make those calculations. You think I held back this information until November just to give you a surprise?
No, I don't.
October surprise?
I'm not saying that you
March.
Did that at all.
It was a pain in the neck to calculate all that.
Not saying you did that, James.
So, Tony, if that's your recommendation, and if the board's cool with that, we will. I'll confirm with John. We'll exchange checks in the night, and that'll satisfy, I'm sure, the state.
I would think so.
The procurement policy. I mean,
we may get criticized for that, but
yeah, you
know, money wise, we're fine.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I'll consider. I'll do one more update. When it's put. Okay, thanks, Gene.
Out the safety shoes.
Okay, safety shoes.
Okay, last year under the jam team, and we had two survivors of that, subject came up. In the contract, we provide safety shoes to our full-time employees at the rate of $200 a year, whether they need them or not. They up to $200 for safety shoes for full-time employees.
Do they buy them and then get reimbursed?
Yes.
Most of the time, they went to DiGiulio's and charged them. Okay, DiGiulio's went out of business, so it's kind of like everything's in a turmoil right now.
They go to Auburn.
Yep. One guy went to Auburn. We don't want to do that anymore. But anyway, there's a second sentence in there that says that the part-timers, if they're required, would be eligible for that same thing. And we discussed that last year, if you remember, and struggled over it to try to figure out, thinking that, you know, 2,080 hours makes a year, but the contract doesn't spell that out or anything. So it was decided last year that if we do require safety shoes, whether they're part-timers or not, we're going to give them the $200 shoes. Okay. But it says if they're required. Okay. And who makes the decision as to whether or not they're required? I do. I'm the highway superintendent. So let me tell you about what has occurred because we're generous and good people. One guy came to me in September that I had not seen in 6 or 8 months, had never answered the phone and been available for work. came in and said, could he get a new pair of shoes? And I said, well, geez, where you been? And I said, no, I can't authorize you a pair of shoes. So that was one guy. Then today, John Butler comes in my office, throws a receipt from Herb Phillips on my desk and say, that's for Sadiq's shoes. Turns to walk away. I said, wait a minute. Sadiq is not eligible for shoes yet. What do you mean, goddammit? I'm going to get Steve. Steve comes back in and we're going to go get Joe to sign for it.
Joe who?
You, their buddy, I guess. I don't know. But here's the thing. If you were working for the highway department and you wanted a new pair of shoes or a new hammer, a new wrench, new truck, whatever, what would be the first thing you would probably do if you were a gentleman? You would ask your boss, hey, I like a new pair of shoes. What do I got to do? How do I go about it? But when you walk in and you throw it, and this is not the employee himself. Sadiq did not come in. Sadiq is the boyfriend of Butler's daughter who lives with them. In other words, they went and bought a pair of shoes at Herb Phillips's and then expected me to pay for it. And I say, no, he's only been an employee for about 5 weeks. And shortly, he's not going to be employed, only sporadically during the summer, perhaps. And I'm saying he's not required to wear safety shoes unless I decide that he's going to be assigned to work where they're desirable to have if you're doing anything that involves heavy iron and whatnot. But I don't think at this time, and besides, he hasn't even finished his...
So what do you want from the town board?
Well, I'm saying if you want, I'll simply give everybody the $200 shoes, because it doesn't come out of the highway funds anyway. It comes out of benefits, which is a general town expense. So it is actually coming out of the whole town expense, not directly highway.
So
if you want me to give them shoes, I will.
Here, I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Well,
I'm going to say this.
I think they
if you did it last year, the same thing applies unless something's changed. I don't know what's changed.
Well, it depends on who you give them to. You give them to the people
that I don't
that
make that
need
call.
Them.
I don't make that
then
call.
Do what you think is right.
You do what you think is right, and then we'll.
So I'm telling you, they said they're going to you to get you to sign. So I just want to let you know ahead of time, because we're into letting you know as soon as we can about things.
So we're going to get a grievance, is what you're saying?
Possibly.
Okay.
I don't know.
Thanks for the heads up.
It's a safety issue. And
yeah,
part-timers' toes aren't less valuable than a full-timer's toes.
That's true.
If you
but if I don't give him a job
shop that requires steel-toed shoes, they all should have shoes.
If you want the whole shop to have them, then
was that
okay,
the determination
that.
From last
no.
year's board?
No, it's my call to decide if they are in a job.
Wait,
that's
but you mentioned the previous team.
Previous, if
what did they say?
If they're they brought up the point that. They're wingmen most of the time, okay? So it's possible that they could get into changing a plow blade, helping the driver change
could
the plow
Sadiq
blade.
Could Sadiq do that?
Sure.
Yeah, well, not unless I tell him to. If you want to give him a pair of shoes, but you're not going to hang it on me.
I'm not
I'm saying
anything.
I'm saying they shouldn't have them until they've been... an established employee that you know they're going to be around and they're going to be doing things that
most
would
places
want them to
won't
wear.
Let you in the shop without steel-toed shoes.
It depends on what kind of shop. If you're saying that you believe that shop should be 100%, okay, say it. Say it. Five guys, you say it, and I'll make it happen.
I'm not saying that.
And you make the determination.
Yes.
You're the highway guy.
Yeah,
so we'll get ready for the meeting. Okay.
You make the call.
Hi.
I think it's still on.
Yeah, I'll turn it off and then back on.